God has blessed us with safety in being able to reach out with the gospel. We cannot go door to door. And so we have a ministry of meeting people, talking to people. And that's why when I was talking about Bonnie's smile, I wasn't kidding. Her smile opens up opportunities to be able to share the gospel with people. And we thank the Lord for his blessings in that. On the back, on the table, in the back, we have a piece of money. It's about $1 billion, okay? I haven't, I counted this, the zeros once, but whatever. But it's not real, okay? It's from the Bank of Hell. It's a hell banknote. And what the Taoists do is they take these and they burn them. And they believe by burning them, they send their families who have died, they send them money to spend. And they will also build huge paper houses, and they will burn these, sending them to their family. They will make clothing. They will send them, nowadays, they send them iPads, paper. You buy a paper Mac or PC, depending on your preference, whatever they liked when they were alive, and burn it and send it to them. They have Visa cards from the Bank of Hell, American Express from the Bank of Hell. And they burn these things. Now, they believe this. It's important for us to understand. They believe these things with all of their hearts. And they are putting their eternal souls on the line in this belief. And so we do need to understand that this is serious with them. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms? Psalm 115, please. Psalm 115. As we consider the beliefs of the Taoists and the Hindus, or the Hindu gods are so many that they are totally confused and really do not know what they believe, but the Hindus really have what they consider to be a fail-safe. They are going to be reincarnated. And so they're not so concerned with their belief because they'll get another chance. They'll get another chance. They'll get another chance. And the Taoists are not like that. Once they die, their spirits are gone. They're in hell and they're set. And so, again, we do need to understand this is their belief. And we see in Psalm 115, the psalmist said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Understanding what other people believe, are you thankful that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you thankful that someone gave you the gospel one day? And that the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart and you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Are you thankful? Because there are billions that do not know this truth. And we need to be, all through the scriptures, we see that we need to be thankful. And we really do need to be thankful. Wherefore should the heathen say, "Where is now their God?" The heathen often say, "Where is the God of the Christians?" And the heathen say that because we do not live him out in life. They do not see consistently Christ in us, the hope of glory. The people in the East believe that the Westerners, us, are Christians. Now, we're Westerners and we know better. There are some Christians, but not all Christians. And what the America and what Britain exports to the East is what they believe Christianity is. And they look at the immorality. They look at the families being broken down. They see all of these things. And they say, just as the psalmist had said, where is their God? What kind of God is this? Why would anyone want to have this God in their lives? It is a sobering thought, a sobering question. We need to be careful how we live as believers. We need to understand that people are watching us. We need to know that the Lord is watching us. There's no doubt about it. But people are watching us also. And we may be influencing what they believe about Christianity. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands, men creating things that they worship. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. We would think, we would consider that anyone that would create a God themselves, and that God is completely dead, inanimate, cannot help, and yet that they worship what they have created, we consider that foolishness, don't we? We do. We consider it to be foolish. But the psalmist went on and say, they that make them are like them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. And so we ask ourselves, why? Why are they like this? And the answer comes back to us that they are ignorant. And I do not say that in a derogatory. They are ignorant. Paul wrote to the brethren, said, I would not have you be ignorant. It just means you're uneducated. You do not know. You haven't been taught right yet. And the Lord told us in Matthew, in the commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And we know that word means make disciples. But it still means teach. We can't get away from that. It means teach. And so we look at the people, we look at their beliefs, and it's so easy for us to get frustrated with them. It's so easy for us to get angry at the beliefs of others. We look at Islam and we get angry at the people, but they're ignorant. They do not know the truth. And it is up to us who do know the truth to take that truth to them and share it with them. Oh, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? That's God's command. It's his commission to go. But there's a lot involved in this going and this teaching. I was illustrating this not too long ago at a Christian school, about children. And you take a child who's just beginning into school, and you ask that child, what is 2 + 2? They say, I don't know. Well, you don't get angry at them. You know, you don't call them names. You don't call them down. They say, I don't know. Why? Because they have not been taught yet. And that's the way we need to think. That's the way we need to believe. So what do you do with the child? Well, you find something that they can understand. And maybe you take 2 or 4 marbles. Maybe you take 4 pennies. Maybe you take 4 pencils, whatever. And you take 2 here and you take 2 here. And you say, when you... plus, that means to add something. You're going to add this to this. And so adding means you move them together. And now you ask the child, okay, can you count these? And usually a child by that age is able to count these. So they say 1, 2, 3, 4. And so now you ask them, okay, what is 2 + 2? Oh. And you see the little light bulb go on. Bing. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, we have a light to take to the world. And we need to share that light, Him, with the world. And we need to share it in that same manner, with that same concern, without frustration, without anger, but with the knowledge that this is their only hope. They are already under condemnation. There's nothing they can do to make it worse for themselves. They are already as bad as they're ever going to get. They are already condemned. Why? Because of unbelief in Jesus Christ. So we go and we tell them that truth. But how do we tell them that truth? Well, we have to like them. Do you like to talk to people who don't like you? Really? I mean, somebody comes up to you and just really calls you names or says something about you. On our back table, we have a plastic durian. I heard there's a couple of people who know durian. Durian over in Southeast Asia is called the king of the fruits. They love it. And it's interesting. It's an interesting fruit. It's against the law to bring them into hotels, taxis, subways. Why? Because they smell. Now let's tell the truth. They stink. Okay? And the smell stays with you. It stays and stays and stays. It's very difficult to get rid of it. It's like carrying around a skunk in a bag. Okay? Not only does it have this terrible smell, it will cut your hand. It's prickly. They wear gloves to handle them. And you have to take a chopper, you chop it, split it open, and it has compartments inside, and it has seeds, and around those seeds is a pulp. So you take the seed out and you put it in your mouth and you just suck that pulp off that seed. And it is the most repulsive thing that you have ever tried, okay? And I say that with confidence, okay? I'm not sure what you've tried, but this is it, okay? This is the worst thing. Bonnie and I liked durian. We didn't like durian at first. We didn't like it when they brought it over to the house and said, oh, we're having something special tonight. So can we have it outside? And you all take yours first. We did not like it. But we learned to like it because they like it. We learned to like it because it was special to them. And then we would get together and I would preach camps. And at the end of the camp, some of the men would go out and they'd get 100 durians and bring them in. And they would have a durian eating evening after church camp. And we would be right there with them eating this durian. Why? Why did we like something like that? They asked the same question. They said most people come from the West, Australians. Even the Australians don't like it. I said, why do you like it? They said, because we like you. And we like to have fellowship with you. And we like to eat with you and sit with you and talk to you. And once they learn that you like them, something even more important happens. The most important thing in the world. They know you love them. They know you love them because God loves them. And that is foreign to everything they've ever known. They have no concept of anything like that. But God begins to do a work in their lives. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, when he went to Corinth, he said first thing that he did not go there to preach himself. He went to preach Christ. But after he was preaching Christ, or as he was preaching Christ, he continued, he finished the sentence, and ourselves. We preach Christ and ourselves. So we don't go there trying to make them Americans. We go there and try to tell them about Jesus Christ. But we need to show them what he does. We need to preach him and what he does. And this has to match this. It has to. Or we have no message that they're going to listen to. And this says that Jesus loves them. And if God's word says he loves them, then we must love them too. And they know. You know, don't you? You know whether someone likes you. You know whether someone loves you. And this is a work of God that we need to have and ask God to work in our lives. We give them ourselves and share ourselves with them. And we rely on God. In the book of Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and he was just sharing with them the truth. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Now, it's not our friendship, it's not our smiles, it's not our eating with them, it's not anything like that. But how can we give them a message if we cannot speak with them? How can we give them this message if they would not give us the time of day? And so we take his message to them in love and through his power and see him change lives. In order to do this, we have to remember that Paul prefaced that with verse 15. For as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Can we say that tonight? As much as in me is. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us. Let me share a testimony about a man who got saved this past year. Mr. Leong. He was Taoist in his 70s. And his son, his oldest son, married a denominational Christian. Now, she's not saved, but in the eyes of them, she's a Christian. Mr. Leong was very concerned because now his oldest son, who's supposed to take care of him after he dies, the oldest son is supposed to take care of him. Now, his oldest son has married a Christian. Now, that could be a major wrench in the works, so to speak, as far as what's going to happen to him when he dies. In Taoism, in the seventh month of the Chinese calendar, which is about August, roughly August for us, they have what's called Hungry Ghost Month. During that month, at the beginning of the seventh month, the priest opened up the gates of hell. And these spirits of the dead come back and wander around on the earth. And if you have not taken care of your family members, if you have not been worshiping, if you have not been offering to them, if you have not been providing for them, they come back and give you big trouble. And at the end of the month, the priest closes the gates of hell. All of those spirits are gone back. So this is worrisome for them. This was worrisome for him. If his son was not going to take care of him, he was going to become what is called a vagabond, a hungry ghost, and that is forever. So now he's concerned. He doesn't like Christians. He doesn't like Christians at all. So his daughter-in-law told us that he had gotten deathly sick. He was in the hospital. We went up to the hospital there in Ipoh. It's just a ward, 50 beds all across, open windows, birds running around on the floors. And he's laying there in the bed by the window, and we go over, and we have one of the ladies from the church who's translating or interpreting into Cantonese. And we told him we wanted to come and pray for him. We heard that he was very sick. There was not much of a response, but we prayed. I had leaned over him and prayed for him, talked to his wife a little bit, and then left. We went again and told him that God loved him and that we just wanted to pray for him. And I had prayer for him, talked to his wife for just a little bit again, and left. The lady in the church who went with us and interpreted for us continued to go back, and then Bonnie and I would go back. And after a while, I leaned over his bed and I said, "Mr. Leong, I'd like to pray for you." And he let me hold his hand. So I held his hand and prayed that God would speak to his heart. I asked Rachel to read scripture to him in Cantonese, to his wife also. Well, there was no hope. They sent him to his house. In a little house on one side, it was just all altar. Big, big old altar. On this altar, above the altar, were the pictures of the family members that had died. Every day, they put offerings on those so the family members wouldn't be hungry. There were oranges on there. You say, well, the oranges didn't disappear. You know, why did they put the oranges on there? They say, well, they would put them up, and then they would throw them away and put fresh ones. They said the spiritual essence was given. So they have all the answers. Every day, offerings for the dead, offerings for the deceased. Now, Mr. Leong is laying in a lawn chair in his living room. His wife is sitting there, and we go by there and ask him if we can pray. And he says, yes. And so we pray for him. We talk to his wife. I ask Rachel to read some scripture to him. And we leave. And we just kept doing that. And we just kept coming back. And his sons were wondering, what do these people want? The family, what do these people want? Well, they found out we just wanted to minister the gospel. We kept going back and going back, and one day Mr. Leong trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, do you understand what that means? For 74 years, he's been Taoist. For 74 years, this is all he has ever believed. And he has been counting on his family taking care of him when he dies and goes to hell. Now, if he's wrong, then he's going to be a hungry ghost forever. Don't think he didn't think about that. The power of God unto salvation. No man could have convinced him that this was the truth. But sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, the Holy Spirit got hold of his heart and showed him the truth, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He knew he was dying. He asked if he could have a Christian funeral. And to praise the Lord. No burnings. No paper houses. No paper clothes. All of his family members. All the neighborhood. Everyone, they came there. They were so surprised. What's happening? What's happening? Oh, Mr. Leong's a Christian. He's in heaven now. When he died, he was present with the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. His wife had been watching all of this. Remember, his wife believes the same thing. She's as old as he is. She loves her husband. She's concerned. What if he's wrong? She came and she asked us one day, Who's going to take care of him? Where is he going to get a house? Ask Rachel to turn to John chapter 14.
Yes.
Verse 1. Jesus loved him more than you do. Jesus provides for him more than you can. He is in the arms of his Lord, who has gone away, and he's prepared him a house. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. Everything changed on Mrs. Leong's face. Everything changed about her demeanor. What did that? The power of God, the gospel, the truth, the Holy Spirit. It wasn't long till Mrs. Leong got saved.
Amen.
Madam Leong. She comes to church faithfully on Sundays. She's all bent over and has a cane. She struggles up. We're on the first floor. She has to walk up those concrete steps. But she does. She comes up. Why? Because she is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a wonderful thing it is to have the privilege to take this truth to a people who are in need. They are unknowing of the truth, and we have that truth. But you know, it's just as difficult here, isn't it? It's just as difficult here. We live in Smith County, Virginia. I say in Singapore, people don't need the Lord. They have everything. Everything. Utopia on earth. In Malaysia, people don't understand the Lord. They don't need to be saved. They don't understand the Lord. In Smith County, everybody's saved. There aren't any lost people. That's the hardest thing to do, just find somebody, find a lost person. They've grown up with it their entire lives. It's because whether Singapore, Malaysia, or Smith County, they are ignorant of the truth that we have. And we need to care for their souls. We need to like them. We need to love them. We need to share God's truth with them. I ask you tonight to pray about what God would have you to do, to take his word to those around you. Malaysia is a closed country. There have been so many people who have tried to get in as missionaries, and they haven't been able to get in. But God has opened the door for us. We thank the Lord for that. We're the only American independent Baptist missionaries in the country, over 30 million people. But we're there on a retirement visa. This makes a lot of difference. This can make all the difference in the world. Don't say we're too old to go. God will use our ages to get us to places that other people cannot get into. What we need to do is ask the Lord, what will you have me do? And the simple thing I encourage the church people there in Ipoh is be where you're supposed to be. Simple, 3 points. Be where you're supposed to be. When you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to do. Just 3 things. And if we'll have the confidence that we are where God wants us, when God wants us there, doing what God wants us to do, we're going to make a difference. God is going to make a difference in somebody's life. through his children. I pray tonight that the Lord will burden all of our hearts together to be a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tonight, if there's someone here that's not saved, I trust that you'll remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross, on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood that we might have life. He satisfied the justice of his Father and set forth life before a dark and dying world. He was buried for 3 days and he rose again. And I pray tonight that you believe that. And if you don't believe that, please do not go out of those doors. Come and ask the pastor. Pastor, can you show me? Can you help me? Can you tell me what this is all about? Instruct me. I need to know. 2 plus 2. It doesn't make sense to me, but I want it to make sense. Will you teach me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your working. Lord, we thank you.